serve us the remainder of the month of September. And I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is going to speak to us over these next few weeks. Amen. How many love the word of the Lord? You get excited about hearing a word from God? Man, I've been so excited just studying this and preparing this this week. And I look forward to delivering to you what I know God has put into my heart. This series is called Dream Again. And it's not the kind of dreams that you have while you're asleep at night. That could get a little odd, maybe a little awkward if we were to share all of our dreams that we have at night, because sometimes if yours are anything like mine, they're a little crazy. They're a little over the top. But rather, we're talking about dreams, the passions, the hopes, the aspirational kind of dreams that all of us share in our lives. I think we all begin life with vigor and with robust imagination. I would imagine when you were a kid, you were much like me. And kids do not do anything small. Their imaginations are wild. I mean, a bath towel becomes a cape that lets you fly faster than a speeding bullet. Your bicycle isn't a bicycle. It was actually a spaceship. And you were the greatest surgeon ever. You solved all of the murder mysteries. You were the fastest gun in the West. You know, we have all of these dreams, and we have this vivid imagination that allows us to just explore, just go beyond anything that we could ever imagine. The problem is, as we grow and as we mature, we become more and more aware of reality. We have dreams, we have aspirations, we have hopes, but we become more and more aware of reality, and we start letting our dreams fade and ultimately die. Some of you had incredible dreams as a kid. I know right now I've got a 15-year-old and I have a 13-year-old, and they're already asking them in school, especially the 15-year-old, wanting them to make a decision. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you graduate? Who are you going to be? What are you going to be already? And I want my kids to dream. I want them to believe. But when you're that age, I mean, you're thinking about all kinds of things and dreaming about things. But then reality sets in, and we start learning words like impossible. We start learning words that limit us and keep us from believing that we can accomplish our dreams. And you know what happens? We end up settling for less than what God has created us for. We start settling for less. We had great dreams. We had great spiritual imagination. We believed that we could do incredible things and be all of these wonderful things, and then reality came and we learned the word impossible and we gave up. John 10:10 is one of my favorite verses of the Bible all time. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, Jesus said, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. That's the reason I have come. Other versions talk about him giving an abundant life, or him giving us life to the full. Life in all caps. I've described it as for years. He's come to give us a rich and satisfying life. But the reality is, we get bogged down with bills, we get bogged down by student loans. We get bogged down in responsibilities and deadlines, and the list goes on and on and on. But can I tell you this morning that we were not created to be slaves to the way this culture says we should be living our lives. It almost seems as though society is telling us that we are supposed to be miserable. It almost seems as though it has become popular, in vogue, to be depressed. It's almost become cool to need medication to get through the day. I'm not making light of those things. I'm certainly not judging anyone that finds themselves dealing with that reality today. I'm sympathetic to you, and I want to help you with all of that. But it seems as though misery loves company so much that it keeps inviting people to their parties of pity and misery meetings, just trying to get more people, almost like, hey, I'm starting a small group. It's called the We Are Miserable Small Group. We're having to get out more chairs for that small group. Everybody wants to go to that small group. No. We do not have to live the way culture says we ought to live. We don't have to. There's a better way. There's a better life. We don't have to live according to the reality. We can live according to the dream. And it's my conviction that eternal life begins right now. So wait a minute, Pastor. I didn't hear the trump sound. I didn't get caught away, or however that thing is going to happen that the book of Revelation talks about. None of that's happened. But I'm already living for eternity right now. It's not something that we are waiting to get to. I'm working on eternity right now. So why do dreams matter? I hope you're taking notes today, because I'm going to give you a lot today, and I'm moving quickly so that I can get through all of this, and then we'll spend the next few weeks in this series unpacking and hopefully all of this taking root in our lives. But I want to tell you why dreams matter so much today. And the first thing I want you to know is that dreams are the language of God. Dreams are the language of God. Dreams or imagination, I believe, is the language of the Spirit. You say, no, I've never heard the audible voice of God. Actually, I bet you have. I bet you have heard God speak to you. In fact, if you've ever had a God-honoring dream, then He has absolutely spoken to you. I know sometimes you have dreams and you're just assuming it was pizza that you ate the night before, or maybe some bad milk that you got a hold of. And you know, we have all kinds of reasons and excuses for the dreams that we have. And I'm certainly not suggesting that every dream we have is from God. No, I if we were to study them out and try to figure out what dreams mean and where some of them come from, some of them are so far out there and so outlandish and, you know, so many crazy things that happen. I'm not saying that every single dream we have is from God, but learning to decipher what it is that God is putting into me, because dreams open up to the possibilities that exist outside of our current realities. Someone, an older man, commented on my Facebook status yesterday and said, even when I take a short nap, he said, I always dream. And then he made a statement, and I'm you'd have to read it on my Facebook page. I'm not quoting verbatim, but paraphrase. He said, my dreams allow me to do impossible things. My dreams allow me to escape reality, is what he's saying, and go beyond. That is what is possible. You know why? Because God lives in our realities, but that's not all. He is not bound by our reality. He is outside of it as well. He's living outside of it. Yeah, he's with us in whatever we're going through today. He's with us in whatever we're dealing with and whatever burden we're carrying and whatever struggle that we're having in our lives today. But he lives outside of that, and he's somewhere out there saying, hey, I want you to come and live with me outside of this reality. I want you to come and visit me over here so that your life can soar and you can see things that are beyond your current state of living. Acts 2 and 17, the Bible says, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I'm going to speak to people because dreams are the language of God. I'm going to give young men visions. I'm going to give older men dreams. I'm going to speak to people in dreams. And that's what we want to do over the next few weeks. We want to awaken the God-given dreams in your heart that you have allowed to flicker out. The imagination that you've allowed to become drowned by reality. The life that you have decided to settle for doesn't have to be the continued reality. Because dreams are the language of God. Next, I want you to understand today that dreams are the target of your faith. Dreams are the target of your faith. You see, faith has to have an object attached to it that hasn't happened yet. You don't have faith without a target. You say, well, I'm just believing God for whatever. No. It's not whatever. It's specific. What am I believing God for? Words create worlds. So if I wake up today and say, well, I'm just going to take whatever happens today and whatever God wills and whatever God decides and whatever God wants to do, and he's over here saying, hey, I've got an army of angels. I've got a basket full of blessings. I've got arrows that I could shoot on your behalf. I'm just waiting on you to give me some direction for your own life. I'm waiting on you to tell me how you want me to move on your behalf and where you want me to work and in what areas and in what ways that you want me to move. I'm waiting on you to direct me in how to bless you. I have a feeling if you and I ever realize that God is standing waiting on us to send him, waiting on us to direct him, waiting on him to command angels. Are not the angels, the Bible said, ministering spirits? They're just waiting to be directed and commanded by us. What would happen if we realized that today? Man, you'd get your clipboard out and start ordering angels this way and that way. And wait a minute, I got a whole army of angels that are at my beck and call. Here, I got a list. Let me tell you where to go and what to do and how to do it. I'd be directing angels all over the place. I'd never pray, God, do whatever you want to do again. I'd be getting specific and giving my faith a target to aim for. Because dreams become the target of your faith. There's nothing to believe God for unless you have something out there that you hope might happen. You have to have a target that you hope might be hit. Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's my job today to help you identify a target for your life, to help you dream and believe that with God anything is possible in your life. So I want you to be here the next few Sundays of this month. In fact, we know where we're going all the way through the end of the year, and every Sunday is can't miss around the church Covington. You ought to be here to hear and to see all that God is going to do, but especially this month of September. Get here, gather your family up, get your spouse, come on by yourself if that's all you got. Just get into the house of the Lord so that you can get a target for your faith to aim at, because dreams are the target of your faith. Let me tell you something else about dreams. Dreams have a habit of coming true. They have a habit of coming true. Have you ever had a dream come true? Anyone? Yeah, I see hands. You've had a dream come true, something that you've literally believed for, something you've wanted, something you imagined was possible. You've had it come true in your life. Sometimes dreams come to warn us. Sometimes they feel ominous. Sometimes I can have a dream that will be so out there, so odd, so peculiar. And yet there will be a couple of specific people in that dream. And I'll wake up not really remembering the details, but I will remember the people. And I feel like I'm supposed to watch out for those people. I've seen it happen over and over in my life. Dreams have a habit of coming true. But when we talk about the aspirational kind of dreams, I mean, you dream something and it was possible, and now here it is, a reality in your life. You may literally be living a dream come true. Not a fairy tale kind, but living, having realized, yes, this is what I saw. Sometimes I meet people that are doing some particular career, and they'll tell me, this is what I always dreamed I would do. This is what I decided I wanted to do in junior high, and here I am now 30 years into my career. Here I am now decades into this career, successful, enjoying, still living life with a target, and I'm seeing this dream having been realized in my life. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing will be impossible. I want God to help us believe again for some big things. I know there are challenges. I know there are difficulties. I know there are walls and locked doors and things that seem insurmountable sometimes, but I want to dream for big things. I want you to dream about big things in your life. I want you to dream about having the relationship that you always dreamt you would have. I don't imagine it would take long to remind all of the ladies in this room about your Barbie and Ken doll and all the fantasy and dream that you had as a little girl, your wedding day or maybe how this was going to go and that was going to go. We have incredible dreams, and then we have reality. Sometimes those two things are far apart. Sometimes life doesn't work out the way, but I'm wondering today, regardless of where you are in life, regardless of what stage, regardless of what age, can you get a new, fresh, imaginative dream, aspirational dream for your life about what God is able to do? I want us to dream things for our church. I want us to believe for big things and ask God to do big things. Well, the Lord knows we'll be here every Sunday at 10, and so whatever He wants to do, no. Just like I'm telling you not to pray whatever you want to do prayers, I'm saying let's get specific about what we want God to do in this house. I have dreams of a debt-free church. I have dreams of paying off $1.7 million in debt. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm dreaming that God is going to provide, and God is going to open doors, and God is going to make a way. But what do you do until that happens? We keep doing what we need to do. Just this month, we gave away $3,500 in missions. We haven't paid off the 1.7 yet. We still have things due and things out there that need to be resolved. But in the meantime, we're doing what we can do until the day comes that we can give $35,000 a month away in missions. We're going to do what we can do right now. If you want big things to happen, you have to be willing to do the small things along the way. So what can you do? What can you do to see your dreams come true? Sometimes we wake up while dreaming. Have you ever woke up while dreaming and tried to get back to sleep real fast so you could finish the dream? The crazy need for the restroom woke you up and you stumbled your way to the restroom and hurried back to bed, and please let me pick up where I left off. I was in a perfect just right spot, and you try to go back to sleep and everything is messed up, and you've awoken from your dream. So what is it that stops us from believing God? What are the things that wake us up from our dreaming, from our aspirational dreaming, from our possibility dreaming, from our hopeful dreaming? What are the things that wake us up? Number one, I think it's a wrong view of life. A wrong view of life wakes us up from our dreams. For many, life becomes a distraction to what God really wants to do. For some of us, life is our greatest foe, our greatest enemy. We are so overwhelmed by life. We are so bogged down by life. And for those that are living that reality right now, you hear me saying those words and you're saying, yeah, that's me, but I don't know how to get out of it. I don't know how to get out from under it. I don't know how to see my way clear of it. And that's why I'm challenging you to get here every Sunday so that we can work through that and figure that. I'm not expecting that one snap of the finger or one dash of the anointing oil is going to solve all of that for you. Sometimes you've got to walk a word out and you've got to wrestle with it and you've got to grow from it and you've got to keep planting and watering and then allow God to give the increase. And I get it. Your reality is this reality. And you see lots of sadness and you see incredible heartbreak. And if you're watching the news this week, the effects of Hurricane Dorian upon the Bahamian people, it's just too staggering. I saw a clip last night, the video title was respected journalist, a respected news person that was on the ground in the Bahamas, and the title was that there were just bodies everywhere. And normally I grab and take in all the news that I can and see it from every angle and try to learn and see what is out there. But I couldn't even bring myself to click on it because I just didn't want to see, because there's so much heartbreak and my heart is broken for the Bahamian people and what they're going through and how incredibly devastating that was. I probably have a little bit of HPTSD, hurricane post-traumatic stress disorder. I've lived through a few of them. Went through one just before moving here in 2017, Hurricane Harvey. I've seen the devastation and helped people dig out and rescued people from fifth and sixth floor buildings where the water was rising and people were drowning, all of that. I've lived through some of that, and so I know how devastating it can be. And not just the natural disasters and not just the things that we cannot help, but when we look around and see all of the pain and all of the suffering and all of the anger and all of the offense and all of the racial tension and all of the things that are happening and people just turning on one another, it can become so overwhelming. It almost paralyzes us and we get a wrong view of life. But I want you to hear me. Even in these dark and evil days, the church will stand. The church will stand. This church will stand. The global church, it will stand. You know why? Because light shines best in darkness. That's where light does its best work, is in darkness. We've got to be a light even in the shadow, difficult times, and not become so overwhelmed with life that it paralyzes us from doing what we should be doing. We just have to keep getting along with others and keep sharing what matters most. Reality happens, but make sure you have a target bigger than your reality. It's one of the things that wake us up. It's a wrong view of life. Secondly, we have a wrong view of self. We have a wrong view of self. Ah, preacher, you're not making sense because you don't know my story. You know what? I don't know your exact story. Not every story in this room. But I can say universally it's true. Regardless of what your story is, regardless of what my story is, God is still God. And God is still good. Any church people know this call and response? God is good all the time. Everybody saved today. This is fantastic. And all the time, God is good. But we get a wrong view of self. And we have to allow God to pull us out of that stupor of thinking and heal our ability to dream, to see ourselves whole, to see ourselves happier and blessed. Hear me, please. If you don't hear anything else I say today, please hear me. It does not matter what mistakes you have made. God still wants to use your life. Just say, but Pastor, I've got scars in my body. Literally, I've got scars on my body. Or I've got scars on my heart. Or I'm emotionally scarred. I'm mentally scarred. I'm spiritually scarred. I realize there are people in this room that said, in this room today, that said they would never darken the doors of another church, or maybe never darken the doors of this church. Maybe too much happened. Maybe too much went wrong. Maybe too much was said. And yet here you are trying one more time. Here you are sneaking in one more Sunday just trying to see if what they say is true. What is it? It's your faith that's trying to get a target bigger than your reality. It's God saying, come on, come on, come, come. Let my spirit draw you back into a safe place. I can't guarantee you that people are not going to get on your nerves. I can't guarantee you that I'm not going to make you mad. I can't guarantee you that somebody is not going to offend you. But what I can promise you is that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I can promise you that when people fail, God doesn't fail. I can promise you that when man lets you down, God will raise you up. Stop getting your eyes on things below and start looking to things above and believing that God is good all the time. And we get a wrong view of self. You know what? You can't see yourself as you see yourself. I know that probably doesn't make sense, but it's best if I do not see myself as I see myself. It's not beneficial to me. Normally you're all about looking in the mirror and taking, yeah, absolutely. I'm responsible for who I am and what I've become. But instead of seeing me as I see me, I need to see me as God sees me. You need to see you as God sees you. Because just like culture seemingly wants us to be depressed and miserable and medicated and messed up, the enemy wants you to have low self-esteem and bad self-image. Because if he can get you down on you, then you'll make it very hard for God to bless you. Hear me today. The devil doesn't even have to trip you up with big sins. He can just get you to lose confidence. Because if he can get you to lose confidence, it will affect your faith. And if your faith becomes affected or infected, then you're going to be cheated out of how good God could be in your life. Is this helping anybody today? I feel like I'm teaching real good. I'm just not sure. We get a wrong view of self. Here's the truth. You're not as bad as you think you are. You're not as bad off as you think you are. And I'm going to tell you something else. Things are better than you believe them to be. Things are better than you believe. Oh, meet me after church. I'll give you a list. I'll tell you how bad they really are. Hey, I'm going to ask you one question. Are you breathing? Because if you're breathing, things could always be worse. So however bad they are right now, realizing that they could be worse gives me a reason to thank God for where I am right now. Woo. Is God good all the time? I get a wrong view of self. Number three, I get a wrong view of God. I get a wrong view of God. You see, what happens is that we forget how powerful God is. We forget how big God is. He is a mighty God. He is a great big God. Nothing is impossible with God. He's all of that. He's big, he's powerful, he's mighty, and yet we pray boring, small prayers. Why? It's because we have a wrong view of God. David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Let's make him bigger than he's ever been. No, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're not going to make him any bigger than he already is. He is big. The problem is you're not seeing him as big. So you need something to magnify him. You understand a magnifying glass. I'm suddenly having to use readers. And I was struggling and eyes squinting, just trying to read an email on my phone. And I thought, man, something is bad, wrong, you know, just call me Bartimaeus. I wasn't sure what was going on. And then all of a sudden, I grabbed some readers in the airport, and it was like all of a sudden my phone was in HD. Woo! Where has that been all my life? This is fantastic. And then Kristen started telling me, your eyes are going to get worse if you use those. Well, what am I supposed to do? I got to fix this. I need to see this. I'm trying not to bring them up here to the pulpit and get this font big enough on my screen for me to read these notes. But I need to magnify the Lord. I need something, a lens, a filter, a perspective, an idea, some faith that allows me to see how big God really is in my life. I need to pray some big prayers. I need to start dreaming again. You know what I need? I need some people to start dreaming with me. I need some people to start believing with me. I need some people to rise up in this house to say, you know what? We are believing and dreaming and reaching with you. It's not just a couple people on the stage that want this. It's from one side of this auditorium to the other. It's from this stage all the way back to that reception room. We believe that God is able and that God wants to do a greater things. It's obvious the enemy doesn't like it. He's been busy, but you know what? We're going to stay focused. We're going to keep our eyes on the prize. We're going to keep dreaming and knowing that even when the destroyer, the devourer, the delays, the challenges come our way, we are dreaming and nothing is going to deter us from seeing this dream realized. Jeremiah 32, 17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." We get a wrong view of life. We get a wrong view of self. We get a wrong view of God, and it wakes us from this dream state, this faith state. What we have to do is dream some God-honoring dreams. We have to believe some God-honoring dreams. What do those look like? Let me give a couple of these to you, and then we'll be done. But a God-honoring dream always seems risky. A God dream always seems risky. It's a faith step. It's a big leap. If you're looking for the easy way, God just doesn't do easy. Not when it comes to faith. I know we got Common Core math now, and everything's changed, and we're trying to simplify things and just get things reduced to where they're really small, and the whole world now is ruled by 30-second sound bites. Social media-driven culture. They don't watch evening news anymore, 30-minute broadcast. They watch news 30 seconds at a time. That's why on your phone right now, all of the popular TV shows, all of the trending movies, they've got 1 minute and 2 minute clips, and people will literally watch their movies and watch their news 30 seconds at a time. Can I tell you it's impossible to get all of the information in 30 seconds? I've got 1,340 something words in my notes this morning. If I talk to you at 100 words per minute, I know exactly how long I'll be speaking. If I speak at a clip of 60 words, I know exactly how long I'll be speaking today, trying to get it in a time frame that you don't lose interest, or that it doesn't start to sound monotonous, and I don't become, you know, Charlie Brown, want voice, you know, trying to build it so that our culture that is so quick thinking and so disinterested and just so attention deficit, if you will, so that we don't lose. We have to work so hard at it. But hear me. Everything with God is not always easy. There is process involved. And while the world has been changing, saying, let me reduce all this down to 30 seconds, God's saying, I'm still the same. If you want something from me, it's going to take some time. You're going to have to be willing to plant some roots and water it every day and see it grow little by little by little. All right, I'm going to give this church 2 weeks. Well, I hope you come 2 weeks, but I'm probably going to have to say my goodbyes now, because you probably won't last. If it's all about the microwave miracle. Because some things just take time. I think I just felt my help walk in here. A God-honoring dream seems risky. He requires faith. There's no way around it. I think about the faith leap that Team Hooper took to move from Texas to Georgia. I may be getting on board. I watched the entire Georgia Bulldogs game. It may be becoming official. Enjoyed every minute of it too. Was rooting for the good guys. But I think about the faith leap. Hasn't been anything easy about it. I'm still homeless. But moved here by faith, knowing that this is what God said. Nothing about, has it been easy on my family? No, 1,000 times no. Have you wondered if you made the right decision? Honestly, truthfully, not one time. Because I know what God said. I know what God, it had to be God to turn me from a Texan into a Georgian. Bless y'all's heart. Maybe for you it's a job change or going back to school or adopting a child. What seems too risky for you to do? I think about Jaime Lopez. I think he's out today, but I see his sweet family here. Working a job for years and tells me a few weeks ago, no, Pastor, we just took a leap as a family and started a business. Jaime, what? What are you talking about? Are you sure? Yeah, big smile on his face. Yeah. Why'd you do that? Because I wanted to have more time for God. Wanted to have more time for family. I didn't need to ask if it was risky. I already knew the answer to that. I didn't need confirmation that it was scary. I already knew the answer to that. Anything you're going to do for God is going to seem risky. What is it that God is asking you to do? Here's another truth about God honoring dreams. A God dream will require God involvement. A God dream will require God involvement. Nothing great happens without God. And the reality is, if you're able to do it all on your own, it isn't a God dream. There's no other way to say it. If you have all of the ability to do it, then you're not dreaming big enough. If you have all of the wherewithal and the skill to accomplish it, then you're not dreaming big enough, because a God dream will require God involvement. I don't know any other way to live. Safe, I'm not familiar with safe. Guaranteed, I don't know anything about guaranteed. Seem like I live so far out there on a limb sometimes, and I'm a little too big for limbs, but here I am out there with a tight rope, and seem like just, we're so far out there now that if God doesn't do it, it won't get done. And yet somehow, I see God with a big smile on his face, because you're right where I want you to be. Out there on that limb. Out there where only faith can keep you and hold you, and we're a miracle every single week. Your life is a miracle every single week. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. A God dream requires God involvement. Let me tell you lastly today that a God dream will change lives. A God dream will change lives. Because it really is about other people and making a difference for others. And I get it, some of you aren't there yet. You're not in the position that you can think about other people, because, again, you have so much stress and you're so overwhelmed in your own personal life, and your own reality is this reality, and it has overwhelmed you and stressed you, and you're wrestling with that. But hear me, God is trying to elevate you. God is trying to heal you. God is trying to deliver you from something and to something where your life can be a blessing. And like he said to Abraham, I'm blessing you so that you can be a blessing. I'm blessing you so that you can make a difference in someone else's life. It's a huge part of what we're trying to do as a church. We want to know God. We want to find freedom. We want to discover purpose. And we want to make a difference. And a God-honoring dream will change lives. Ephesians 1, 11 and 12 in the Message says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. Here's a prayer you can pray today. It's a powerful prayer. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves. When our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little. When we arrive safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us for not dreaming big enough. But can I tell you something today? None of this happens outside of your personal relationship with God. It's impossible to really dream apart from God. I need Him in my life. I need Him. You may be here today. Maybe it's your first time. Maybe you're checking out the church. Maybe you're trying to figure out. Maybe you feel pulled, drawn, wooed, wowed by something God-like. And you hear the Lord speaking. You didn't even realize before today that it's God speaking. You just know you wake up every morning with a motivation, a desire, an inclination, a heart that says, go after big things. Go after great things. Reach for great things. You didn't even know that was God. You just thought that was, that's just me. Here, let me snap a selfie because I'm just all that? No, that's God. The Bible said no man comes to Him except the Spirit draw him. That's His Spirit drawing you. But what you have to do is get your relationship with Him solidified, taken care of, right where it needs to be. You may be thinking about your past today and you feel limited by that. You feel stymied, stumped, paralyzed by your past. Let me ask you something. Why not surrender to Him today? Why not surrender your past? Why not surrender all of the things that you feel like stunted your faith? Give it to God today. Because He'll take it. Bible said we can give Him ashes and He'll exchange us for beauty. We can give Him sorrow and He'll exchange it, give us joy. Does that sound like a deal? The deal of a lifetime for anyone? Sounds like a pretty good plan. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, this personal, individual, you and God moment,